A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Once again, a warm welcome to all those who are visitors or guests. We're delighted to have you. All the people over in the gym on the live stream as well. We are not forgotten. We can't see you, but you can see us. And we'll bring you Holy Communion too. But thank you all for coming out to celebrate this greatest feast of the Christian year, the most important day in all of Christianity. And it's the most important day in the history of the world that we celebrate the day that Christ rose from the dead, because it changed everything. Last night at the Easter Vigil, we had three people come forward to be baptized, adults never baptized before, and another fourth for confirmation. Today at the 12:30 Mass for the Spanish-speaking, we'll have four more adult baptisms and I think eight confirmations. It's a beautiful thing to see, even in this world we say is so godless and secular, people looking for God and need God in their lives. Last night we had that long Easter Vigil Mass, and part of the reason it's longer is that we go through a series of readings from the Old Testament that tell the whole story of the history of salvation, starting with creation of the world, the creation of Adam and Eve, and then through the covenant made first with Abraham, where God first called the people to be in a relationship with him. And then we read through the story of the slavery of the Israelites in Egypt and their liberation by God in the Exodus and coming through the desert to the promised land. And we read from the prophets as well, the prophets who had to be sent by God over and over again to remind the people of the covenant that they were always violating and they were always abandoning that covenant with God. And we read up to the point of Jesus then, the Son of God, coming into the world to make the new and definitive covenant that we live in now. This relationship, this blood relationship between us and God that was sealed by the death of Jesus, the Son of God. And then Jesus overcame even the death, the unjust death he had to suffer for our salvation by a bodily resurrection. And this bodily resurrection makes all the difference. Maybe Hollywood and TV shows, Game of Thrones, they have us used to playing on this idea of resurrection. But those are just resuscitations. Where somebody comes back to life. No, Frankenstein or Jon Snow. Or even what Jesus did when he raised Lazarus from the dead, right? He brought him back to life. But that was not the resurrection. After all, if Lazarus was going to live forever, he'd still be around. And we'd all be talking about the 2,000-year-old Lazarus in our midst. But he ain't around. If he is, he's hiding out pretty well. No, Lazarus died again of something else. Jesus did that, brought him back to life, just to show all of us that he had power over life and death. And that only he could raise us up from the bonds of death. No, Jesus' bodily resurrection was something different, unique, and irrepeatable. Something we can't do, no matter what. But it means so much because, contrary to so much popular opinion today, it means that we're not ghosts. Jesus wasn't a ghost after he rose from the dead. He was there in his bodily form, and in the days to come, we'll be reading about how he asked for something to eat, and he made the apostles touch him and feel that his body was true. Not a ghost, not some kind of spirit, formless spirit, not just consciousness. And what does that mean? It means that the body is good. It means that God raises it up in eternity. It means that the entire material world that God created was good, as it says in the book of Genesis, as he goes through the stages of creation, and he saw that it was good. When he comes to the creation of man, he saw that it was very good. The resurrection means that our bodily existence is good. Maybe needs to be redeemed through the blood of Jesus, yes. But that in heaven, right along with Jesus, in his body, the Son of God who took on a human form and a true human nature, Jesus is in heaven with his body, and including the wounds from his crucifixion. And we too will rise bodily at the end of time. It means that our bodies are good, and God affirms it. Contrary to popular ideas today, we're not nothing after death. We're not annihilated. We don't become nothing. It's so sad to see that so many people today have a rejection of the idea of the resurrection. They don't celebrate funeral rites for their loved ones. Ask any funeral director and he'll tell you. More and more people say, just dispose of the body. No funeral, no wake. Or, give us ashes and we'll put them into lockets. What a way to treat the sacred bodies of our deceased loved ones. Those bodies will rise again on the last day, having spent a few years on earth inside somebody's jewelry. No, Christians don't do that. We honor the body with dignified burials because we know that on the last day that body will rise again glorified. The bodily resurrection doesn't mean that we're just some anonymous matter as part of a universe. It means that we're transformed. And contrary to that idea of reincarnation, we're not just spirits that get reincarnated in different kinds of bodies and species. That was an early heresy. That comes back over and over again. No, we are unique individuals. Who we are today is who we will be in eternity. We're immortal. And our identity that we have now will be preserved in eternity. We won't be a flea or a pig or a horse. We are human beings, children of God, made in his image and likeness. And we will rise with the body we have. The bodily resurrection also tells us much about the world that we worry about and stress about. Jesus' death on the cross was the devil taking his best shot at stopping God. And it was an utter failure because of the resurrection. The resurrection also shows us that all the evil and all the sin, all the violence in this world, all the horrors that people suffer, in poverty and war, illness, sickness, abandonment, betrayal, everything we call sin and suffering doesn't have the last word. It won't prevail because we'll be reborn in the resurrection to the kingdom of peace, where there's no more suffering and no more sickness, no more violence, no more evil, no more sin. The resurrection shows us that God, His love and His justice have the final word, that no evil that we concoct in this world can ever prevail against the power, against the goodness, against the love of the God who made us in His image and likeness. Praise be Jesus Christ, both now and forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah.